The first reading for this evening is from Ezekiel, chapter 34, verses 11 through 16. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel reading for this evening is from Mark, chapter 6, verses 39 through 44. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and our Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. The idea of being a sheep. Yes, I told you he's a puffy little guy. And this is not the biggest one that I had the offer of being able to use. There's this really huge one that takes up lots of room. I thought, we'll go with a medium-sized sheep instead tonight. We're going to, so you're aware, realize that this creates some viewing issues for some as you're trying to look up when you're sitting down in particular. I'm going to be moving this over to another side in the service for Sunday, so you'll be able to come and see a little bit easier. Good segue. Come and see. The Lord takes us as sheep and makes us to lie down in green pastures. Sheep don't typically like to lay down. It's if they have to, if they are comfortable, if it's a storm, if they're trying for cover, if they're sleeping. If they're nursing, they may be laying down in some of those cases, but other than that, sheep don't often lay down because there are several things that need to take place for a sheep to desire and be comfortable with laying down, and one of those things, it has to be feeling very secure in its environment, because if it's not, it has to stay on alert. They're in a life and death situation, and so sheep don't usually experience that complete freeness from fear to allow them the comfort of lying down. But it can come about. Still, if they're restless, if they're discontent, if they're agitated, they will not relax. Kind of like a lot of people, huh? I mean, we may lay down, but we're not going to sleep too well because we're thinking, our minds aren't shutting off. We've got too much churning and stirring in us. And we're frustrated, we're agitated. We're uncomfortable, and that doesn't make for good sleep. It doesn't make for being good sheep either, because that gets in the way of so many things for us. And for sheep, it really doesn't take that much to stampede them. Now, speaking from example regarding cows, it doesn't take a lot to stampede them too if you use the right things. Fireworks work real well. Not intentionally meaning that to be the result of the fireworks, but finding out, wow, they do work really well. Sheep, on the other hand, they'll go off at anything. A small animal jumps up, a jackrabbit, a mouse scurries in front of them. They'll be up and moving. And once one or two get moving, they all start moving. A loud noise can set them off, and you can have a stampede of sheep in no time at all. And sheep really truly only find their comfort when the shepherd is there, because that's where their food comes from. That's where the care comes from. That's where the provider is. For us, the same, I would say. Because we can go through this life and we can deal with discontentment, we can deal with struggles, we can deal with anxieties, we can deal with fears. But where we find the most comfort, and speaking from experience here as well, is when we're closest to the shepherd. When we realize that God is in our lives, and I don't say when God comes into our lives, because he's always there. You just don't always acknowledge it. God is there. When we recognize and we see that God is in our lives and how God is providing for us and being with us, blessing us along our way, that's when we can start to find rest. That's when we can feel comfortable. We know that disaster can strike at any time. Misfortune can come in the blink of an eye. Rains and winds come. We experienced that last night, right? How many folks had damage to your property, homes or trees? Or 1, 2, 3. There were a few. Many of you got off a lot better than a few houses, I'll be willing to say, that I saw that had large trees laying on them as I drove around today. Not a good thing. Disaster comes quickly. And when it does, we recognize that this trouble is all around us. We are burdened. We are frustrated. Not that we have anything to fear at this point, but I know that there were certainly also many that did experience fear last night because of the sirens going off and the storms coming up. Or in some cases, because the storm came up and the sirens didn't go off, might have caused for a little fear too. But when that fear comes, that danger signal is going off in our heads and we're worried and we need some comfort. We need some hope. Usually one of the first things that happens when we're in a point of fear and danger is we typically will run. Run is always a good option. Now, not in a storm, obviously. You don't run out into that. But we run for safety. We look for where we're going to be protected. We look for where we can feel safe. I remember a few times in life when the sirens would go off at school, we would have to do the old duck and cover in the halls. We were still doing those ridiculous nuclear war duck and cover things where you put your head under like your math book. Like, this is really going to protect me in the event of an atomic bomb going off? I don't understand this, but apparently in the elementary school, they thought that was the best they could do. So, you know, yeah, if there's a bomb, put your head under your math book. Okay. It's about as close as the math book in my head ever got, usually, but just being real there. I can remember going into the bathroom and getting in the bathtub or hiding in a door frame when there's a tornado coming. Those kinds of wonderful, fun things. And even getting out and getting in a bar ditch when we saw a tornado as we're driving along the side of the road. You get out and you get down in the ground in the low areas. Wow, we are ready to run and take cover. And for some, it may be as simple as, for the kids, running to mom or dad's room and to jumping into bed with them, because that's where they find comfort. Comfort is there for us. For us, comfort comes when we recognize and we realize that the shepherd, the good shepherd, the Lord who is our shepherd, is there for us and is the one that can provide for us, protect us, and care for us. We can lay down in those green pastures because we know that the Lord is there taking care of us. We can feel comfortable because we know that we're under this divine protection of the only true God. Ezekiel 34, verse 14 read, "I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. They will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will find feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. We're told in this passage in Ezekiel, it's a really good passage dealing with shepherd and sheep analogy for us, that God is going to be there for us because he has said, I, myself, am going to be their shepherd. And that's what the psalmist then also claims, as Ezekiel notes, God himself is our shepherd. And that's what Jesus then adds to the teachings about him when he tells us that he is the good shepherd. He's also there claiming that he is God, because God's the only one that's claimed that he's going to get to be that shepherd. And Jesus says, I'm that shepherd. That didn't sit too well with a lot of folks in Jesus' day. But then again, a lot of things Jesus said didn't sit too well with a lot of folks in Jesus' day. And that's okay for us, because we know that what he spoke was truth. Still, to be able to lie down in those green pastures, the sheep have to feel very comfortable. There's a nighttime prayer that I used to say when I was a child. Maybe some of you did the same. There were different prayers. I had a couple of them. But one of them was the, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And then you could add that, and this I ask for Jesus' sake, if you were so inclined. But when I passed that along to my son, I had changed the words on that. Because as an adult, I'm thinking, you know, it never really seemed to hit me too much as a child, but I did wonder sometimes about that idea of dying before I wake part, and that morbidity of that prayer. You know, I'm not so sure, you know, that's the way we need to teach the kids to pray right away. They need to understand that idea a little bit later on. But, you know, if I should die before I wake, am I gonna die? I didn't want to even face those kind of questions. So I rewrote that prayer, and actually it was easy the way I did the first part, but then a little bit later I added on a couple of other stanzas, if you will, to that. Now I lay me down to sleep, I know the Lord my soul will keep, and he will watch me through the night and guard me by his bright sun's light, was the basic part. I added to that, my Jesus sends his spirit near, and angels to his loved ones dear. I'm the one he loves, I know, because his Bible tells me so. I'll pray and speak with you each night and rest until I see the light. Then know that as I start the day, you, Jesus, guide me all the way. And since I don't have someone that I say that with every night anymore, it's been a while since I've said that one. I had to go back to my notes on that. But I thought that worked a little bit better than if I should die before I wake, because it places all the focus and comfort and trust still in Jesus, knowing that he's there to provide and protect us. We are called to be the sheep of God. And as such, he is the one that can provide for us the true comfort so that we can lay down and rest in his care. Sheep have another issue with lying down, and that's that they're social critters. you know, chickens have a pecking order. Cows have a horning order. That's the way it's called. Sheep have a butting order. Sheep butt. That's what they do. And usually you'll have one obstinate, arrogant, domineering ewe in the flock that will be the biggest, baddest mama in the flock. And she will butt her way around everybody else to make sure that they know that she's the one that's in charge, the top sheep in the flock. And sometimes it'll be to get to the best food, sometimes it'll be to just teach a lesson, and sometimes it's just because you got in her way. But that you will be the one that's at the top of that butting order. And for us, when there are rivalries, when there are tensions, when there's competition, when all of these things tend to come in about our play in lives for status. And that creates a friction in the flock, in a sheep flock, in our flock as well. That happens in the church too. We get into a butting order where we want to be the one that's recognized. We want to be the one that's observed. We want to be the one that's got our name before others. We want to be the one that's the point of focus for something. And sometimes we'll nip and butt our heads around and defend our rights to be at the head of the flock. But God desires us to have contentment instead. God desires for us to stop positioning ourselves and start recognizing just His protection. Oddly enough, in a sheep herd, the sheep that are down in the lower end of the budding order, the ones that usually tend to be ignored, the ones that don't worry about their position, they're the ones that truly seem the most quiet and restful, because they're not having to deal with the posturing that other sheep deal with. Another issue for sheep in lying down, along with the idea of, first of all, dealing with fear, and then also the dealing with the positioning and who's in authority, comes in to be that when there are bugs around, sheep are not settled. We don't like bugs. Animals don't like bugs any more than we like bugs. And while a cow may just simply shake its head or switch its tail, sheep will get up and run from them even. And get a swarm of flies or that around them, and they are going to go crazy. They do not like it. They will not settle down. We're the same way. We have these little things that can bug us so much that we can't settle down. And our life is full of them. Biggest one, I would say, is in dealing with our time and how do we get things done. And we need a few more hours in every day just to get things done, probably. I've often joked that if I get another few hours added to my week, I might be able to catch up and get last Easter's sermon finished. Last Easter's. I'm a little behind. You're probably a little behind in things, too. You work a full-time job, you're making meals, you're cleaning floors, you're doing laundry, you're raising children, you're caring for grandchildren. There's just too much to get it all done. And all these things add up and they swarm around us in our minds, and with that, we feel like we just cannot relax and can't get settled. Another issue that sheep have with lying down is that they like to eat. Sounds a lot like Lutherans. This whole thing about being sheep. I mean, dealing with fear, dealing with positioning, dealing with eating. Thanks again for the meal. There's plenty of food. But we like to eat. Sheep like to eat. And sheep like to be well fed. And if they're not well fed, they're going to be agitated again. They're not going to be able to relax. God brings us the spiritual food that we need. We receive that in Holy Communion. We also receive that in His Word. We receive that spiritual food that He gives to us to bless us, to encourage us, to guide us, and to help us to grow. The feeding of the 5,000 is one of those unique events where God was calling them together for spiritual food, but the disciples get a little anxious about the physical food. How are we going to feed all these people is the question that's brought up with the feeding of the 5,000. And the Lord says, you're going to feed them. Well, you know how the story ends. They all are well fed. And as we know, 5,000 men, it says, that doesn't count the women and the children. So there were more than 5,000. And that was not the only miracle of feeding that took place in the Bible. There was also the feeding of the 4,000. Men plus women and children. So a couple of amazing events where God provides what they need, the spiritual food, and also what they're going to want that would distract them from hearing the spiritual food, and that's the physical food. God takes care of us and He provides for us according to our needs. He's going to give you what you need in physical ways, so that you can pay that attention to Him in spiritual ways. One of the great things that came out of a movement from Saddleback Church many years ago in an evangelism program, Bill Hybels was the one who had a phrase that I just absolutely loved, and that was regarding how do we do evangelism in our neighborhood. And the answer was barbecue first. Because you can go to somebody who's hungry and seek to feed them the gospel, or you can provide the physical food that they need, and then they'll also probably give you an ear for that spiritual food. But that barbecue first was a great way of saying, in this particular instance, for you to be able to reach your neighbors, they need to be able to know that you're a reachable person and get to know you, that you're there to care about them, not just to try and evangelize them. Now, I would say that should be a motive behind every single one of our relationships everywhere, all the time. That we would seek an opportunity to lead someone to Christ. But that's not going to be what's happening in every relationship. But when they're going out, and when you're going out on those intentional opportunities to talk to somebody new, to meet somebody new, especially when it's a neighbor in your neighborhood, invite them over to eat. Bring them over for a meal. Get together for a backyard barbecue. Then you can open up and talk to them about your faith as well. And they're more likely to listen to you because you've also provided for those physical needs, but you've shown that you care about them as a person, not just a figure and a number that you're trying to tick off your list and saying that, look, I witnessed to this many people this week. We need to care about people. We need to love them with Christ's love. Everyone, everywhere. We need to be the living Christ for them. God has placed His word into you so that you can now share that word with the world. Now, in being well fed, we're going to also have to be connected to to the church. We're going to have to be connected to the church because God is using His church, His churches around the world, to continue to bring His word to His people, to continue to bring His sacraments to His people, to continue to provide for His people. And if you go outside of that church and you're going in other areas, it's kind of like the sheep that seek to leave their pasture for food somewhere else, for water somewhere else, and think they're going to find something good. Let me tell you, the church is an oasis. God has provided us with an oasis that He feeds us in because He knows that this is where you will receive the good food. This is where you will receive His food. I myself will be their shepherd, God proclaims. And He provides under-shepherds, like me, to be able to continue to share that word that He gives to us, to His flocks. But He's the true shepherd. And He's the only one we follow. And He's the only one we place 100% of our faith in. Because He is the one that is going to lead us in the green fields, where we're going to find the good food, where He's going to be to watch over and to care for us. And when you get beyond those green fields, you're going to find a lot of deserts. The church really is an oasis. It doesn't take long when you go outside of the church and outside of the Christian faith to hear how others are criticizing, tearing down the church and God, and the values that God would have us have. The truths that He would pass along to us, the rest of the world couldn't care about in many cases. So we need to be in this oasis of faith, the church, where God is going to be the one who cares for us, and His word is going to be what we continue to gather around. Martin Luther actually translated this verse in saying, He makes us to lay down in green pastures. He translated it saying, He feeds me in a green pasture. With that understanding that's how we will be settled in and how God is caring for us. God's placed us here so that we can know Him better. He gathers us, He feeds us, He protects us. And if we go astray, we're going to find that what's outside there isn't as safe, it isn't as good, it isn't as nurturing, and it will never make us as comfortable as what is inside the Lord's churches, where His word is proclaimed. Now, maybe it's time for us to get a little more comfortable in those green pastures. Maybe it's time for us to get back to the foot of the cross and to recognize that the Lord is the one that is going to be there to bless us and to keep us safe. And maybe we need to do that through more Bible studies, more devotion times in our home, maybe being in a prayer group. But we need to stay close to Christ. We need to stay close to the shepherd. And if we do not, I can guarantee you there is a world of danger that's just outside the doors. So when we go outside those doors, we need to make sure that we take Christ with us and know that He goes where we go. As I said at the beginning of the service, He's always with us, even if we don't recognize. He's always there. It's a lot better if we do recognize Him. And that way we can certainly also take the opportunity to introduce Him to a few of our friends and neighbors a little more easily as well. Barbecue first? Just not sheep. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. What a blessing it is to know the safety we have in the pasture of God. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.